Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Greetings, friends, in the precious and wonderful name of our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ. Come, let us pray. Creator God, we bless you this morning. We thank you for the gift of life. Thank you that your love reaches to us wherever we are, and that this morning you find us in our homes. We long, Lord, to hear you speak to us. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. We find our scripture reading this morning, friends, in the Gospel according to St. John chapter 20, and we'll be reading from verse 26 to 29. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends, we have heard of the saying, seeing is believing. But when it comes to the things of God and how God has and continues to work in our lives, we live by faith. We walk not by sight, but by faith. And over the years, we've heard Thomas being called the doubting Thomas. And many a times he's blamed for having gone AWOL, missing church, when Jesus was with his disciples, when Jesus appeared to his disciples. But I wish to say this morning that he is no different from the other disciples. When Mary came to Peter and John, she said, "I have seen the Lord." And did they believe her? No. Both of them ran to the tomb. And I guess they hoped to see Jesus. But when they got to the tomb of Jesus was empty. And they came back. And the other two disciples whom Luke tells us about, that they're walking troubled, sad, though Jesus joined them in their conversation, they still did not believe, and they could not see Jesus, though he was right in front of them. And as Jesus asked them why they walked with sad hearts, and they narrated that our Savior, our hope for Israel's redemption, has been crucified. And some of the women had gone to the tomb, and even some of us went, but they didn't see Jesus. You see, there's always been that longing to see. But as Jesus appears to Thomas, Jesus rebukes Thomas, saying that stop doubting and believe. But when you go back to Thomas, Thomas had specific signs, specific marks that he knew he would believe because he had said it. Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Perhaps Thomas remembered Jesus' words in John chapter 14, verse 21, where Jesus had promised to show himself to those who love him. And when eventually Thomas was together with the disciples, we don't know where Thomas was. Perhaps just like other people, when they are confused, when they are overwhelmed with fear, they just go away just to clear their thoughts. Maybe that's where Thomas was. Maybe Thomas had just gone to be by himself. But today, as the Bible, we read that though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and he spoke to Thomas. Say, put your finger in my hands and your hand in my side. Stop doubting and believe. How many of us, in the face of this pandemic, had doubted God's love for us? How many of us have doubted that God is still in control? Jesus speaks to us this morning that we must not doubt but believe that God is still in control. God still cares, and that this too shall pass. One thing that I love about Thomas is that his confession, my Lord and my God. Because as Christ is revealed to each and every one of us, I said the other day that Jesus is different things to many is different things to different people. Thomas confessed that Jesus is his Lord. Jesus is his God. Because in our journey, there comes a time wherein the Lordship of Jesus becomes so clear that we own it. Hence, you'd hear other people saying when they greet, and sometimes myself included, in the name of my Lord and my Savior. I want to believe that when Thomas made that confession, he realized just how much the Lord loved him. That Jesus took the time just to show himself, to appear to Thomas and fulfill his longing. But also I want to say that, as Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen but believe. And that is you and me. We have not seen Jesus in flesh, but we believe in the news of the resurrection. And that is our hope. That is our hope. Even when we face this dark cloud of death that covers our country and the whole world, that though we are in the Friday phase of our life, when we are faced with the tomb, with the darkness of the tomb, that we have hope that the Sunday morning that comes with the light, that comes with the empty tomb, is coming for us, and that we just have to wait. Wait in faith, trusting that news will be delivered to us, that a cure has been found, that there is healing for the people, the afflicted people. But just as we hope, as Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life, just as we continue to wait, I have a question. What marks of Jesus have you seen during this period of darkness? Have you seen Jesus' love? Have you seen Jesus' compassion? Or let me ask another question. As a believer in Christ, as one who testifies to his resurrection, what marks of the risen Christ have you exhibited, have you shown to other people around you? Are people able to see in you love, compassion, justice, peace? We hear in our country currently of the spike in cases of gender-based violence. Do they see love and compassion, justice and peace in you, in me? The Bible says Christ is in us the hope of glory. And I pray that as we continue in this life, people will not see Jesus walking with nail marks, but they will see me and you. And I hope that as they see me and you, they'll be able to see Christ in us. Not that that would be the reason for them to believe, but that they will believe the message that we share, that Christ is risen. And that we ourselves will just be imitating Christ in how we live and interact amongst other people. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, friend of the lonely and comforter of the sorrowful, be with us during these trying times. As we face uncertainties, help and restore our faith and our trust in you. May we never be shaken from the gospel truth that you are God who is with us. Though troubled and sad, you join us and you walk with us, you talk with us. And that eventually we're able to testify with others that Jesus lives. Jesus lives within us all. We give you praise, Lord, and we glorify your name now and forevermore. Amen. Friends, I invite us then to join together in the following Easter cantata. May you be blessed. Amen.
to that cross. Lord, had I not been to see them savagely nail his precious hands, a carpenter's hands, calloused from work, yet so gently, lovingly touching and playing with little children, hands that had miraculously healed, giving sight to the blind, making lepers whole and lame to walk, even raising from the dead. Yes, I was there when they nailed him to that cross. Lord, had I not been to see them mocking, sneering with ceaseless shouts of abuse, his throat so parched, cruelly denied as much as a sip of life-giving water. He could hardly speak. A voice that had once uttered words of such wisdom, they could only have been divine. A voice that had held such comfort and only spoke the language of truth. Yet, in his silence, he said so much. Yes, I was there when they nailed him to that cross. Lord, had I not been to see his eyes so full of pain, he was almost blinded. But despite such agony, he still looked upon his mother's face and tenderly offered her to the care of his beloved disciple. And then he turned his head and looked at me. Though my life depended upon it, I could not tear my eyes from his. Eyes so full of compassion, forgiveness and love, eyes that would not let me go. And through my shame and sinful life, he stripped me bare of my well-concealed pretenses as I stood naked before his broken body. He saw into my darkest moments and washed them clean. He refused to see my unworthiness and saw only that I belonged to him and he to me. He saw only that he loved me. Yes, I was there when they nailed him to that cross. Lord, had I not been to see him die.
Where you then they crucified.
14, verses 32 to 36. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Chapter 53, verses 5 to 7. "But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth." John chapter 19, verses 16 to 18. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Here they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle.
Thank you.
33-37. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home.
Oh,
that in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us, he took it away, nailing it to the cross. Starting. He took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility."
Jesus is standing by the soul.
John chapter 14, verses 22 to 29. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, 'I am going away and I am coming back for you.' If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I've told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe."
Thank you.